He didn't say, I know of a way. He didn't say, let me show you the way. He didn't say, look, over there's the way. He said, I am the way. I am the invitation, right? Jesus is God's special invitation, and you need to have it on you when he comes. Some years ago, a couple decades now, I remember being at a youth camp, and when I was there, we were up in the mountains, and there was this handicapped kid that was there, and he decided he really liked me, and he followed me everywhere. Don't be so surprised. Some people do like me. He followed me everywhere, to the cafeteria, to the chapels, all this stuff, and so I kind of got to know him over the week that we were there, and as I got to know him, I learned his story, and he told me that before, when he was a younger teenager, about 14, 15, he was about 18 when I had met him, and he said, I was an atheist. He goes, I didn't believe in God, I didn't want anything to do with God, I didn't care about God, and I didn't believe that God existed. And then one day, as he was walking across the street, he got ran over by a car, and like totally ran over, and it actually killed him. And then they resuscitated him, and then he was in a coma for a couple of months. And when he got out of the coma, he actually had, because of the severe brain injuries and the bodily injuries, he became handicapped. But he said, when I was in the coma, I saw God. He said, I saw the Lord visited me. And he goes, and it was amazing. And when he would talk about God, his body would become so excited. He couldn't control his emotions and his limbs. He'd get so excited about it. And he said, God was so amazing, and he just wanted me to know how real he was, and how much he loved me, and how much he cared for me, and that he was with me. And from that day on, that young man served Jesus. He didn't know Jesus before, but then God visited him, and God was with him. Everybody say, God with me. That's what we're going to talk about today, and we get it from the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 1. Here's what it says. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Everyone say, God's with me. I want you to know that for certain today. As you came in here, maybe you're just visiting church for the first time, you're a guest, maybe you don't know anything about God, maybe you doubt God, maybe you question God, whatever it is, I want you to leave here today with a real certainty that God is with you. Now, maybe you're like many people, and you're asking, when is God with me? When is he with us? Well, today, we're going to talk about an interesting topic, and that's this. God is with you for eternity. Everyone say eternity. For eternity. What an interesting thing for our minds to think about, isn't it? Like, an eternity is an eternity. See what I did there? An eternity is a long time. It's hard for us to grasp it because we live in such a time-structured, you know, life. Everything we do in life has a time or a time limit, but eternity has no limit. And God is with you for eternity. And as we celebrate the first coming of Jesus, we should also look forward to his second coming. We've been spending all this time getting ready for Christmas, getting ready for the celebration and celebrating that Jesus came and baby in a manger, but we should also look forward to the fact that he's coming one day and we should be ready when he gets here. To help us understand this, we're going to look at a conversation that Jesus had about eternity, about heaven, and to prepare us for that, I'm going to read a passage out of John, but let me just kind of give you a little background on what's going on. Because I want you to really grasp where the disciples are coming from, where Jesus is talking and speaking into. And so it starts like this. Jesus comes into the house, and he starts washing the disciples' feet. The Bible says that he goes, and he puts on a towel, and he goes, he starts washing the disciples' feet. Gross. Because some of y'all have ugly feet. Okay, anybody here blessed with ugly feet? Let us know ahead of time so we don't look down. Okay, years ago, I preached many, many years ago at the first Start of Fusion, I preached in flip-flops, and one of the elders' wives after the service said, please don't ever preach in flip-flops again. And nobody wants to see that. Amen. Yeah. I'll deal with that later. Jesus is washing the feet. Now, it's more than just ugly feet, because to wash someone's feet meant you were the lowest of lows of the servants. You had no seniority in the house at all. And so the disciples, this blew their mind. How was Jesus, the miracle worker, the one everyone's following, the one who heals the leper, the one who raises the dead, who opens the eyes of the blind, who everybody's following, how is it possible that this guy is washing my feet? And he said, listen, you don't understand what I'm doing now, but you will understand it more later. And so their minds are kind of like, this is crazy. And then Jesus kind of turns the page on the story, and he predicts that Judas is going to betray him. But no one knows who it is. We know who it is because we read the story. But they didn't know who it was yet. And so they're all at the dinner. They're having this conversation. Is it me, Lord? Am I the one that's going to betray you? And they're like in turmoil thinking, how is that possible? How could one of us 12 really betray Jesus after all this time? I mean, we're going to betray the guy who just washed our feet? That would be a little crazy. And so they're kind of like, now it's like double stuffed Oreo of emotions. And then Jesus doesn't stop there, because then he says, listen, I got to go away. He goes, I'm going to go away, and you'll understand more later. And Peter says, I'm going to go with you wherever. And he goes, nah, not really. And he says, listen, I'm ready to die for you. And then Jesus says in front of everybody, Peter, tonight you're going to deny me 3 times. And everybody's like, whoopsh, what? How could it be possible that Peter, of all of the disciples, is going to be the one to deny Jesus 3 times? This is crazy. And because of all this happening, their hearts began to be troubled, and they began to be confused. They were trying to grasp and understand everything that Jesus was trying to teach them and instruct them and trying to get a grip on everything that was happening. And their hearts began to be troubled, and Jesus answers their troubled hearts. And here's what he says in John chapter 14. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you came in here today and your heart is troubled. Maybe it's troubled about things of eternity. Maybe it's troubled about the reality of God. Maybe it's troubled about things going on in your life. Don't let your hearts be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. God is with you for eternity. He wants to be with you for eternity. And one thing we can get out of this story is this: only God can calm a troubled heart. Only God can calm a troubled heart. He's the one who calms our worst fears. He's the one who deals with our anxiety about death and the afterlife. He's the one who deals with our anxiety and fear about sin. All the things. You know what's interesting is that Jesus doesn't calm their heart by talking about their job problems. Jesus doesn't calm their heart about talking about their financial banking issues. Jesus doesn't calm their heart talking about their sickness issues and their retirement issues. Jesus calms their heart talking about faith and eternity. Isn't that amazing? He's basically saying, listen, I know you've got a lot of things to worry about and be troubled about in this life. He says, but what I want you to do is I want you to think past this life. Everyone say past. I want you to think past this life. There's more coming, and I want you to be ready when the more comes. I don't want you to be so wrapped up in this life and all of these problems. I want you to know that more is coming. Let not your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house are many rooms. Isn't that an amazing answer to a troubled heart? Because God wants to be with us for eternity. The truth is, you're living for eternity right now. every single person in this room and watching at home right now, and everyone who will listen to this message after the fact, you are living for eternity right now. The question is, which eternity are you living for? Are you living for eternity with God or without God? Which one? Only you can decide that. You can live for eternity with God or without God. I don't know many people who would say, if heaven's real, I don't want to go there. Now, maybe there's a few crazy people that would say that, but by and large, I would say that most of us, even if you have doubts, if you say, hey, listen, if heaven's a real place, I want to go there, right? Right? Amen. Okay, just making sure you're all like, I don't know, Pastor, let me think about that. Yes, we would want to go there. I saw an interview recently with a former Satanist, and looking at him was intimidating. Not because he was a former Satanist, but because he was so into the occult and Satan worship that he had surgery done to his face to have implants done and these crazy satanic tattoos and these things embedded in his face. And I mean, just look at him. He looked like the type of guy that his only goal in life was to kill you. That's what he looked like. Like the monster sleeping under your bed, that's what he looked like, and then some. And he was talking about how he lived his life with this mindset. He would say, hail to Satan every day. And that was his mindset. And he said one day he had a vision of Jesus. And he said he looked up and Jesus was standing there, and he said, I don't believe in you. I can't believe you're standing there. I can't believe that you're real. And he said, Jesus didn't say anything to him, but he said, I was overcome with this overwhelming sense of love. And I was flooded with love. And this man who looked like he was a mass murderer in the interview begins to weep at the love of Christ and begins to weep at how compassionate Jesus was toward him in this encounter, this moment he had with his Savior. And he began to realize, I'm living for eternity now, and the eternity I live for matters. And he began to live for Jesus. You are living for eternity now. And Jesus wants to calm your fears on this issue. In fact, that's one of the reasons why he came. Hebrews chapter 2 says this about that very thing. It says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break. Everyone say break. Break. That means to break it, right? Break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. Free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. He wants to break that power over our life. Why? Because God desperately wants us to know that he wants to be with us for eternity, and he's made a way for us to do that. As we celebrate the first coming of Jesus, we must also look forward to his second coming. And here's what I want you to know. God has a special place for you. Everyone say, for me.
For me.
A special place for you. You guys remember the song, I'll Be Home for Christmas? Yeah. Some of you don't, so I will sing it now.
No.
I'll be home. Okay, that's enough. Right? Please have snow and mistletoe and presents under the tree. Yes! I'll be home. Now listen, what's interesting about going home for Christmas is home is maybe not always as special as we thought. Because when you go home to see family, you have to sleep on the couch or the pullout or with the kids or in the living room, right? Or, you know, with their dogs that jump all over you and they think it's cute. Like, it's so cute that my dog drools all over you. It's not cute. Nobody likes it but you. And, right? And or whatever. I remember talking to a lovely lady in our church. She went home for Thanksgiving to see her family. This just happened. And she got up, it's in the Northwest, she went to see her family, and they put her outside in a teardrop trailer, travel tree, you know what I mean, those little teardrop travel trailers, in the Northwest, in the wintertime, with no heat and no bathroom. And she's 72. That sounds real special, doesn't it? Well, God's not like our family. when God says he has a special place for us, he really means a special place. Look at what it says here in John chapter 14. It says, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Everyone say, for me. It's a special place for you. And you know what that's called? It's called home. It's called the Father's house. It's called the place that God's making for you. When Jesus died and ascended into heaven, he started building two things. He started building his church on the earth, and he started building a home in heaven. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that you may be with me all, wherever I am, and we'll be together there in eternity in heaven. I've often been asked, what does heaven look like? What does heaven look like? I mean, is it country? Are there deer heads on the wall? Is there bear skin on the ground? Heaven's full of a bunch of dead animals. I'm not really country. So is it modern? Is everything sleek and glass and clean and, you know, pristine? Is it like that? What's heaven like? Well, the Bible doesn't really give us total clarity on what heaven is like. It gives us a glimpse enough to say, I want more. I want to know more about that place. I want to be in that place to know what heaven's like. So we don't know everything that isn't in heaven, but what I do know is there are a few things that tell us what isn't in heaven and what is in heaven, and I want to give you a few things. So what's not in heaven? If we were to go to heaven, what wouldn't be there? We know for certain these things would not be here. You want to know the list? Here's the list of a few things. Death. Crying. Pain. Regret. Sin. Wickedness. Hurt. Slander. Gossip. Immorality. Danger. Fear. Depression, anxiety, anger, loneliness, decay, sickness, demons, the devil, darkness, and unbelievers. Should I go on? Taxes. The DMV. The 91 freeway. Come on. It's not going to be there anymore. None of that stuff will be there. How about diabetes won't be there? Cancer won't be there. Loss won't be there. The pain won't be there. All of those things that cause harm and pain and hurt to us, betrayal won't be there, will not be in heaven. Those don't belong there. So if all those things aren't in heaven, what is in heaven? If I was to go there and I'm in heaven where Jesus is, what do we know for certain will be there? Well, here's a few things. God the Father will be there. Jesus the Son will be there. The Holy Spirit will be there. Grace, mercy, forgiveness, healing, loving kindness, peace, holiness, worship, newness of life, radiant light, rainbows around the throne of God, beauty, lush gardens, the river of life, the tree of life, angels, all believers, and everlasting joy. All those things will be there. I don't know about you, but I want to go there. God wants to be with us for eternity. And as we look forward to it, God gives us a glimpse of what eternity looks like. Says, hey, these are all the wonderful things that you can look forward to in eternity. So what eternity are you living for? You're living for eternity right now. Which one are you living for? Jesus is coming back, and you're invited to his house. God has a special place for you, and when Jesus comes back, you're invited to his house. Look what he said. He said in verse 5 and 6, he said, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. God has a special place for you in his house. Jesus coming back, you're invited to that house. No matter what your end time beliefs are, the big word for that is called your eschatology or eschatological view or your whatever illogical view you want to call it, whatever multiple syllable word you want to put on it, and whatever chart you want to create, what they do in their theological schools, and they get so heady that they're kind of worthless in ministry. But here, let me tell you the number one thing. Let me tell you the number one thing that you need to know about the end times. There's only one essential belief about the end times. Hear me clearly. Jesus is coming back. That's it. Everything else is speculation. Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back and he says, listen, I want you to be where I am. I'm making a place for you so that you may be with me where I am. He's coming back, and when he does, he will judge the wicked, and he will take those who believe upon Jesus Christ, also called the righteous, to be with him in everlasting joy. I mean, just think of the list that's in heaven. Wouldn't you just say to yourself, man, I wish I could just have a couple of those things in my home? What if we just pick one? Could I have just one of those things in my house? How about this? Loving kindness. What if you had just one of the things that's in heaven in your home, loving kindness? How much better would that be? And we get to look forward to that and more in the presence of God in heaven. He came as baby in a manger, but one day he will come back as King and Savior. Because God wants to be with you for eternity. Now maybe you're like Thomas, and you're like, okay, that kind of sounds good. How do I get there? Here's what Thomas said. How do I get to the Father's house? He said in John 14, he said, Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? How do I get there? That kind of sounds good. I want to be where you are. How do I know the way? And here's what Jesus answered. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So the question we would ask this morning is say, hey, how do I get there? Well, number one, I'm going to give you a couple things. Maybe they're reminders to you, and maybe for some of you, this is the first time you've ever heard them. Either way, they're good to know. How do I get to the Father's house? You have to accept God's invitation. You have to accept God's invitation. You ever been invited to a party? Raise your hand and look around for the people who have not raised their hand and invite them next time. When you're invited to a party, right, that's important because you got an invitation. Now, we do this thing now called Evite online. They send, you know, electronic invites to parties, whatever, and you have three options. You have yes, you have no, and you have maybe. Everyone who selects maybe should just be stoned. Yes. What we know what that means is maybe, let me see if I get a better offer, and then I'll let you know yes or no. And we do this with God all the time. We'll say, maybe. And God says, listen, I need a yes or no answer. You're going to accept my invitation, or you're going to reject my invitation. Which one is it going to be? Yes or no? There's no maybe in this world. You've got a choice. You're living for eternity right now, and God wants you with him for eternity. He's got a special place for you. You're invited to that place, and Jesus is the invitation. And so we have to answer that question and say, okay, man, I want to accept the invitation because Jesus says, no one gets to the Father's house without me. He didn't say, I know of a way. He didn't say, let me show you the way. He didn't say, look, over there's the way. He said, I am the way. I am the invitation, right? Jesus is God's special invitation, and you need to have it on you when he comes. I want to let that one sink in for a minute. Jesus is God's special invitation to you, and you need to have it on you when he comes. Where do you have it on you? You have it right on your heart. That your heart has turned over to him, and that you're serving him and following him. Say, okay, I'm going to accept that invitation, and it's not just a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge. It goes from here to here, and then that helps us to do the next thing. If we want to get to the Father's house, and that's it, you have to live in his truth. Everyone say live. You have to live in his truth. I remember talking to a wonderful lady in our church. She said, man, before I came to know Jesus, I thought I was a good person. I thought I had it all figured out. She thought she knew the truth. But then when she got to know Jesus, then she realized how much of the truth she didn't know. Jesus didn't say, listen, I know some truth. Jesus didn't say, hey, listen, read this, you know, read this guy's book over here and that'll give you some truth. Jesus didn't say, hey, listen, Google some truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. I'm the way and the truth. And you have to live in this truth. Listen, I have to accept the way, live in the truth if I'm going to receive the life. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. I have to accept the way, live in the truth, so that I might receive the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. What is your 2025 going to look like? We're coming up on a whole new year, 2025. What decisions are you going to make? How are you going to change your life? What's going to happen in the next year? Are you going to live in God's truth, or are you going to live in some truth that you've made up? You've made up because you feel like that's right, and your feelings are your God and not God, who is the way, the truth, and the life. What are you going to do? What's your 2025 going to look like? This is one of the reasons why next Sunday, I'm going to be preaching a sermon next Sunday on setting godly goals for 2025. And how do we do that so that we might actually live according to the truth of God? John 8 says this, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Right? I want to pray for you. Would you guys stand to your feet? God wants you to be with Him for eternity. You have to accept the invitation. He's preparing a place for you. He's got a special place for you. You have to accept the invitation. And you need to have that invitation on your heart when Jesus comes again. You have to accept it and you have to walk in the truth. Maybe you're here today and you've just been living in your own truth. You've made up your own truth because you think in your mind you know everything and in your heart you know everything. Or maybe you feel today you're not good enough. There's no way God's going to accept you. God has a place for everyone, and my Father's house has many rooms. And He's prepared a place just for you because He loves you and He cares for you. As we celebrate the first coming of Jesus, we have to look forward to the second coming of Jesus. God wants you with Him for eternity.